This is 89.1 KUAR. I'm Michael Heplin. We're breaking away from regular programming so that we can bring you to the Arkansas State Capitol. Governor Asa Hutchinson about to give his weekly press briefing.
Good afternoon to everyone. Welcome. And I first want to start out with an announcement relating to one of Arkansas's premier commodity crops, rice. And it's particularly significant because this is Rice Month. But today is a historical day in Arkansas agriculture because while Arkansas produces over half of the rice produced in the United States of America, and China happens to be the largest consumer of rice and the largest importer of rice, but we have not sold any Arkansas rice of any significant quantities to China. I want to recognize Secretary of Agriculture Wes Ward that's with me today, but also Ralston Family Farms, owned by Tim Ralston and Robin Ralston, is with me today because the announcement is that the Ralston Family Farms are the first United States producers to sell long grain rice to China and the first in the southern region of the United States. And so this is a real compliment to Ralston Farms and their marketing ability and their product. This past July, their first shipment of rice arrived in China with a second shipment in process that's being scheduled, and additional shipments are planned for the future. There's a good marketing plan in China for this, and it's a great opportunity for our country and for Arkansas when the United States Department of Agriculture estimates that U.S. rice exports to China could reach almost one-fifth of the U.S. rice crop in the future. Great opportunity for us. We're excited for this new chapter in Arkansas agriculture and what it means for our producers. Tomorrow, I'll be with the Ralstons on their farm taking a tour. Wes, are you going to be there?
Yes, sir.
And so we'll be able to showcase it in person, but I want to take advantage of the opportunity today to make this announcement and thank the Ralstons for their work in Arkansas agriculture.
Thank you.
And now let me go on to our daily report. And I will add that this happens to be the 200th presser since the pandemic began. So if you like anniversaries, I want to thank the news participants here that have endured 200 of these. Andy, you might be the 200 man. But let me start off with making some comments about vaccines and the announcement of President Biden in terms of a vaccine mandate. There's been a significant debate about this. I wanted to make sure that my position was clear, and so I want to articulate some particular points. I believe there's a graphic up there that outlines this as well. But first, I support the authority of the states to require vaccines in the educational environment and in other environments based upon the needs of the state. So just because you're opposed to a federal vaccine mandate does not mean that you're opposed to all mandates. Secondly, I support the freedom of businesses to mandate vaccines in the workplace. And more, and just as importantly, that this freedom should not be prohibited by the state. Businesses have that freedom. Thirdly, I recognize the authority of the federal government to require vaccines of military and federal employees. He's the commander in chief. It's the military. They have that prerogative. He leads the executive branch of government. But I do not support the strategy of a broad federal mandate for businesses with over 100 employees that requires the employer to have all employees vaccinated. This is not consistent with historical use of federal authority in public health matters. In many instances, people talk about General Washington that required all of his troops to have the smallpox vaccine. This is not something I disagree with. This is a targeted use of federal authority that can utilize that for the armed forces. That's the prerogative of the commander in chief. But whenever you look at the broad-based use. It has never been done historically or used by federal authorities to mandate small businesses in this public health matter. And so it is counterproductive and, in my judgment, will increase vaccine hesitancy. I should emphasize that I continue to advocate for everyone that is eligible to be vaccinated. That is the message, and this debate on mandates is a side attraction that withdraws really from the greater voice that we've had in encouraging vaccinations, going to 16 cities and communities in Arkansas, promoting it, having trusted advisors there to make the case and answer questions of those that might have hesitancy. Our objective is all the same, and that is to get people vaccinated. I believe the strategy is best as the way that I outlined it. And now let me go to the case report for today, and we're going to do it a little bit different because we're breaking it down, so maybe it's a little bit easier to digest. The new cases over the last 24 hours, 1,544, which for a Tuesday is a good number, better number than what we've seen in the past coming off of a long weekend. The total active cases has been reduced by 700. The deaths are at 36, which is way too high. It's a tragedy. It's a sad thing whenever we see that many Arkansans that succumb and pass away as a result of COVID-19, particularly whenever we have vaccinations that reduce the risk of hospitalizations and death. I do want to emphasize, if you go back to the other slide, emphasize that this does not mean in the last 24 hours that there's been 36 deaths, and many people confuse that point. For example, these numbers here of 36 deaths, two of those occurred in June, seven of those occurred in July, two of them occurred in August, and 25 of them occurred in September, and we're in the 14th day. And the delay in reporting is always the case with death certificates, whether it's COVID-related or otherwise. And then if we go to the next one, this is the vaccinations. We've had 9,330 on the right column that have been vaccinated. That's doses received. Given out is 6,771 doses. And we continue to make progress with adding to those that are fully immunized, which was noted today has gone over 50% of our adult population, and we continue to increase that. Next, you'll see the hospital data that we have 16 fewer in the hospital and 5 fewer on ventilators. And while we're on that, I did want to emphasize in our hospital bed capacity that right now we have 33 ICU beds that are available, and of those we know that 14 at least are COVID ICU beds. So that is good news that the margin has increased some, and we have that capacity that we didn't have before. In terms of pediatric ICUs, we have 6 available, which is an increase from previous reporting. And then if you go to our testing, you see that we have our PCR and testing numbers that continue to be in the mid-level. But I want to make a point and remind everyone that this is not the most relevant statistic to me as it used to be. And that is because we have robust home testing now. People can actually go into the pharmacy, they can get their home test, they can do their test, and they can have that information for them without it going through the Department of Health. And so we do not have a mandatory reporting requirement for those that use home tests. And so there could be thousands of home tests that are being done that we're not aware of, the negatives and the positives. This is still relevant, particularly in the positivity rate that shows us the direction that we're going, but everybody needs to understand we're in a new arena with the home test that will continue to increase. And then this is, there's next couple slides tell an important story for everyone, monoclonal antibody update. And so we're starting out in June of 21, and you can see the units of Regeneron that's used to fight the Delta wave, the monoclonal antibody, started out at 14 units, and it's gradually increased to where in September we're using 2,630 units. This is a fairly significant increase in this monoclonal antibody treatment, which is good news, is something that Dr. Romero has pushed out consistently. That is an effective treatment program, and we want to make sure that people understand the importance of it and the seriousness of the Delta variant that requires that kind of treatment. And then if you go to the next one, this is a complicated slide, but it tells an important story. So let me just take a moment on it. The heading is percent change in new case rates during the winter, January of 2021 compared with August of 2021. And we have in the red is the percent change, and the lighter color is the percent that's fully immunized. So let's look at this, and we see this is the age group, less than 12 years of age. We have a 92% increase in that age group of new cases as compared to the winter of January of 21. So a 92% increase in that age group in new cases. But then you look at 12 through 18, now of course they can't be vaccinated, so there you don't have a percent fully vaccinated in less than 12, but if you go 12 to 18, you've got in the white 33% that are fully immunized, and we have a 14% increase in new cases as compared to January. If you look at the next age group, which is 19 to 24, 35% vaccination rate, and you're dropping now in the new cases in that age group. This is really makes the case for vaccinations. The next one, you can see each subsequent age group, as the vaccination rates increase, the case rates decrease in every age group, and it certainly tells you the story as compared to the less than 12 as to how it was in January. And then if we go to the next slide, it makes the case in a different way. I've used this before. The vaccination status as compared to cases, hospitalizations, and deaths. And so of almost 90% of those that have cases have not been vaccinated. Hospitalizations, 91% of the hospitalizations have not been vaccinated. And almost 90% of the deaths that we've seen have not been vaccinated fully. And then just real quickly, you can see the downward trend on hospitalizations, which is increasingly good news. The next one, you see the active cases on the decline as well. You see the next one is the percent positive. And you can see that this is both antigen and PCR. The positivity rate is going down. Again, that is good news for us. And so with that, I'm pleased to have Dr. Jose Romero, our Secretary of Health, who continues doing a great job for us, to make comments, and then followed by our Secretary of Education to give us an education update, Secretary Johnny Key.
And we're listening live. This is KUAR 89.1.
Thank you, Governor. So my comments today will be limited to the vaccination of children, comments on the monoclonal antibodies. So we continue to make progress with regard to immunizations in the 12 to 18-year-old group. At this time, we have 47% of the population in that group that have received one dose, and we are at 34.7% that have received fully vaccinated. Now, as you can see from the governor's slides earlier today, you can really see that there's a difference in those individuals that are receiving the vaccine, in particular for children. So it is very important that these children continue to receive vaccine, and we try to immunize that entire population. It also points out the importance of the mask in school. I mean, for the younger individuals, for those individuals under 12 years of age, we have no vaccine at this time. So it's very important that masks be used in school in order to limit the spread. These have been shown to be effective in preventing infections and in limiting the spread of the virus within a closed setting. And, you know, I can tell you from personal experience, they work. They clearly work. With regard to the use of monoclonal antibodies, we continue to have an adequate supply here in the state. The allocation system has changed a little bit, but we continue to have enough monoclonal antibodies for the treatment of individuals. Again, this is a proven therapy for the prevention of hospitalization in individuals. I've mentioned this before, I'll mention it again. These have shown a 70 to 85% reduction in hospitalizations for individuals that have received them. If you are in a high-risk situation and in a proper age, then you should receive these if you are infected with COVID. And lastly, I want to stress the importance of the maintaining our vigilance for COVID, for getting tested when appropriate. The governor has pointed out that we now have home tests available. These can be used and are available from a number of sources at cost and should be part of our evaluation for individuals that are exposed to COVID at home. So thank you very much for your time, and I will turn it back over to the governor.
And actually, we're going to get Education Secretary Johnny Key.
Today, I want to give an update on some of the numbers that we're looking at in our public schools, K through 12. So far this week, we've had three districts that have reported modifications to their on-site instruction. And in all cases, they were very isolated. Hope School District has shifted for their K-8 to virtual learning for the rest of the week. For Pulaski County, Lawson Elementary Pre-K has closed for a couple of days, and then Lisa Academy has had one elementary school. So all in all, we continue to have a relatively successful school year. Part of that is because of the local decisions that are being made. The local school leaders, superintendents, local boards are making good decisions regarding all of the multiple layers of mitigation strategies that we have recommended. That is being borne out in the reports coming from the health department. For the last week, we are seeing over 1,300 fewer cases from last Monday to this Monday. These are active cases in our public K-12 schools. So our strategies are working. I know many districts are at that point where they made decisions and said they were going to come back in 30 days and revisit those decisions. And my message to those superintendents and to those school boards are, let's keep doing what you've been doing. It is working. And if you keep doing what you're doing with the work on getting more students and staff vaccinated when they become eligible, with the masking strategies, with the HVAC strategies, all of those things, layer upon layer of protection to make sure that we are going to have a successful school year this year. Keep in mind, we have had Friday night football. We have had volleyball games. We've had a number of settings in which we are continuing the activities. We're continuing the learning, and we want to keep that going. So let's keep these numbers in mind as we move forward, and let's keep doing that right work.
And Governor Hutchinson coming back to the podium.
Thank you, Secretary Key. And I did have a call with the White House today, long discussions with the governors as well as with the White House in terms of the booster shots that we anticipate being available based upon FDA guidance and CDC guidance toward the end of next week. And so we're working very hard to plan for this. We expect that to be rolled out. We'll have to wait and see what the guidance is on it, but the White House is assuring us that that should be coming toward the end of next week. With that, be happy to turn it open to any questions.
You said that you support the authority of states to require vaccinations for state employees and federal government for federal employees. So why wouldn't you support the ability of local governments, schools, to require vaccinations of their employees, which are, you know, right now they're not allowed to do that under the law that was passed?
Well, everything's, as I said in my statement, I support the authority of state government to impose those kind of mandates. That's been the traditional role of the states. You could say the same thing for local government, even though I did not articulate that. So it's a matter of confidence, timing, and what's the right strategy for implementation. And even though the state has that authority historically, it's not something that should be utilized now. Our strategy is the right one for now, which is to educate, is to encourage, and to solicit the support of the communities to increase the vaccination rates, and that's been proven successful. I know everybody would like to see it go up at a quicker pace, but it's moving in that direction. Dr. Scott Gottlieb made some very good points this last weekend whenever he agreed that the current federal mandate can be counterproductive and can increase resistance. So he's making the same point as a member of the Obama administration as I've made. And so it's a different strategy, but I think it's the strategy that we had that President Biden reversed courses on. The previous strategy was the most effective one.
See that authority being a strategy that you said it's not for the time right now, but could you see implementing a vaccine mandate for at least in a school setting, like you said you support that authority, in the future? Because I know in one chart you said there's a 92% increase in cases under 12, and last week you said a lot of these cases are stemming from faculty and staff that are not vaccinated. Would you support implementing that mandate if these cases get worse, and if so, when? What would qualify that, I guess?
Nobody knows the future. Now is not the time. We only have one vaccine that's been fully FDA approved. We've got to build more confidence. Now is not the time. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know whether there's going to be another variant come in. We don't know whether we're going to have different twists and turns in this pandemic. We hope that's not the case. An effective leader is not going to foreclose reasonable opportunities that have historically been used in the future.
So is there a specific percentage of cases or any sort of transmission that would make you want to implement any sort of educational mandate, or you want to avoid that?
I would not put any particular criteria. And of course, right now we have some laws that are on the books that prohibit vaccine passports and mandates from the state, and so a lot of things would have to change. But I do support the authority of the state because we've obviously done that with many other types of communicable diseases in the schools that we require vaccinations on. So it would not make sense to say we should never do this. Obviously, that's an important responsibility the state has if the circumstances require it.
What do you say about the booster shot coming out, especially since you already see vaccine hesitancy when it comes to some people here in the state? And then this also might be a question for Dr. Romero. We've seen some doctors come out and say a booster shot isn't necessary. What message do you have for Arkansans as we see the booster shot come available?
I will let Dr. Romero address that. But from the standpoint of what I expect, I think there will be a very large push to get the booster shot. There will be a time sequence. For example, I'll be one of the first in line as soon as my time period makes me eligible, which we expect to be about 8 months after the time you got your first shot. If that's the case, I'll be in line to get it because I want to be as safe as I can. And I think there'll be many in that category over time that you'll see change, but I expect everybody who got their first dose or their second dose have been fully vaccinated, that they will be more than willing and ready to get the booster shot. Dr. Romero?
Health Secretary Dr. Jose Romero.
So I think the governor is very correct in what he's saying. I think we'll see a series of early adopters. Those individuals that have accepted the vaccine will probably accept the booster dose. There will always be some reluctant groups to receive it. Now, with regard to making statements of whether the booster is indicated or not, you know, the data is being analyzed at this time at the level of the FDA and at the level of the ACIP CDC. You know, that data will take into account those high-risk groups, those individuals by age, and a recommendation will be made. I think that we need to wait for that data in order before we begin to make statements about who should not receive it. When all the data is analyzed, we can make a more informed decision, and that's what I'm waiting for in my decision. Thank you.
Is there any questions remotely?
Governor, this is Andrew with AP. Wanted to ask you about Biden's vaccine order. Would you support any efforts by the legislature to challenge it in some way, or try to prevent its enforcement, or trying to declare it unconstitutional? I know there's been some discussion, but I haven't really seen specific proposals on that. Do you think the state legislature has a role in doing any of that?
Well, I think it's primarily a decision for the courts to make. And I would expect a very organized challenge to it from various attorney generals. I would support that effort. But before you can really be prepared to move forward and know exactly the kind of challenge, you would need to see the rule, emergency rule that would be adopted by OSHA. Nobody has seen that. You don't know the parameters of it. And so it's really premature at this time to know exactly the right strategy. But I would expect that it be challenged, and the best avenue to challenge that would be in the courts.
Governor, this is Samantha Boyd with KNWA. We've seen videos and images of the Packers Rec Stadium this weekend and people storming the field. My question is, what's the concern for potential spread, and when will we know if there's been a significant spread from this event?
I'll let Dr. Merrill comment after I do on that point as well, because it is a very appropriate question. And first of all, we're worried about a spike from Labor Day. And I thought Labor Day was 2 or 3 weeks ago, but it's not. It's much more recent than that. So we don't know for sure, even from Labor Day, as to whether there'll be a spike from the activities. I'm hopeful that's not the case. And I'm also hopeful that, obviously, with the precautions that were taken, But also, you saw the crowd there, everybody did. By the way, it was a great victory, and I think all of the state was very happy with that victory over Texas. But in terms of the crowd, I just hope that, 60-70% of that crowd was vaccinated. I know that there were some masks that were worn. I've seen that, so hopefully people took the right precautions. I know, obviously, in some cases they didn't, but hopefully the extent of our vaccination program in Arkansas hopefully will carry the day and keep us safe in those type of venues. Dr. Romero, how long do you think it'll be before we know for sure?
We are watching the numbers from the past holiday very closely. At this time, we're not seeing a dramatic increase, so we're hopeful that we're going to make it through that holiday without having a large number of cases. With regard to the question about the football game, we would tend to see this about a week after, 5 to 7 days after, we should start to see increasing numbers of cases. Now, remember, as the governor pointed out, there are a lot more home tests being done. It's possible that these individuals will be doing home testing. We still have, unfortunately, things to rely on, and that would be the delayed indicators of infection, which are hospitalizations or deaths. And we hope that those are not going to go up. They've maintained themselves steady. So we will be watching this very closely. Thank you.
We're coming up on the 2 o'clock hour. This is 89.1 KUAR, Little Rock. We're listening live, Governor Asa Hutchinson's weekly press briefing.
Behind us, as of right now, at this time, I know you don't like to predict the future, but with the downward trend, is the worst behind us? And also, does the recent data between school districts with and without face mask mandates, is there anything that can show a marked difference between those two policies at this time?
Well, in April, when the legislature in session, I thought the worst was behind us. Here we are in September, and we're still dealing with it. So no, I would not predict the future. I'm obviously hopeful about the future, and I'm encouraged by the trend in the last week anyway, or last couple weeks, with very gradual decline of cases, and particularly hospitalizations. In terms of those that in the school system, and I'll invite either Secretary Key or Dr. Romero to comment as well. What this the graph that we showed for age group 0 to 12 and the 92% increase in new cases as compared to January makes a case to me we need to do everything we can to make sure that age group particularly is protected when they're not eligible for the vaccine. And that to me is a striking point.
And Education Secretary Johnny Key coming back.
As far as the question of the mask policies in our schools, I mean, last week Dr. Sima presented a chart that showed within the first 3 weeks there definitely is a difference in those districts that had mask policies versus those that did not. What we are seeing and what is being reported to us from superintendents are those that maybe didn't start the year with a mask policy, but they are seeing the impact of the quarantines. And knowing that those students that they were quarantining early in the school year would not have to be quarantined if they were wearing masks. So then they came back and enacted a mask policy. I think the numbers we see today or yesterday that were reported, 1,300 fewer cases, active cases K through 12 versus a week ago. I think those are all indicators that we are doing the right thing by and large across the state.
I think we're good now. Thank you all for your attention today, your participation, and have a good afternoon.
Governor Asa Hutchinson wrapping up this week's press conference. To give a quick recap, 36 deaths were reported today, though the governor noted that not all of those occurred over the past 24 hours. Some even were months ago, but came in because of delays in reporting. Still said that number is way too high, called it a tragedy, particularly when vaccines can help reduce hospitalizations and deaths. 1,544 new cases of people testing positive for the virus, but overall, active cases are down by 737 people. And overall, this shows a decline in the number of cases. Hospitalizations and the number of patients on ventilators also made slight declines, continuing a trend we've seen over the last week or so. And it was also noted during the press conference that over 50% of Arkansas's adult population has now been immunized for COVID-19. The governor started the COVID-19 portion of the press conference by noting that his position regarding the president and the vaccine mandate for federal employees and all employers with over 100 employees said that he supports the authority of states to require vaccines in educational environments. The governor supports the freedom of businesses to decide whether to require vaccines, and also the authority of the federal government to require vaccines for military and federal employees, but says he does not agree with President Biden's vaccine mandate, suggests it will end up being counterproductive and end up contributing to vaccine hesitancy. A few other points. Health Secretary Dr. Jose Romero said the state continues making progress in vaccinating children between the ages of 12 and 18, said 47% of those children have received at least one dose. Of course, those under 12 are not yet able to get vaccinated. He also emphasized the importance of masks being worn in closed environments in schools, said that they clearly work. And there was also the reminder that home testing is available now for people who feel they might have been at risk of contracting the virus or feel they might be showing symptoms. So there was also the encouragement of home tests being used. Education Secretary Johnny Key said that compared to a week ago, Arkansas schools have about 1,300 fewer cases from Monday of last week to Monday of this week, yesterday, so suggested that strategies are working. Governor Hutchinson said he talked with the White House. Seems to be a regular weekly conference call with governors and the White House, and said today they talked about booster shots being available, expecting that guidance from the Food and Drug Administration will be provided toward the end of next week, which will provide some guidance about what regulators are thinking about people getting that third shot to have an extra layer of protection. And again said he expects to have more on that in about a week, toward the end of next week. But again, 36 deaths today, along with about 1,500 new cases. I'm Michael Heplin. This has been special coverage from KUAR 89.1.